1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. New King James says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I want you to recall or remember as we go through the message today that there's two basic points, key points, that Paul's making here. One is a good confession, and the other is a good fight. There's two things here. Now, I'm going to focus primarily on fighting the good fight. The reason I'm sharing with that is because I'm in the midst of one. I've been in it. I know what I'm talking about. I've been fighting this fight for a couple weeks. And the thing about fighting a good fight is that you need to know that it's a good fight. And so let's pray and get into the Word. And I've got some things that I want to share. Father, we are so thankful for your Word. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in the truth. Thank you, Father, for clarity. I thank you that I'll be able to get across exactly the things that you've been speaking to me and the things that I know that you desire to speak to those that hear this message. So we thank you for the unction, the anointing as we call it, that rests upon each and every one of us, that rests upon your Word, that as we look at your Word, it can bring freedom and liberty and strength and health and wholeness. We give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed said, amen. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:12, but out of the New Living Translation. It says, fight the good fight for the true faith. It makes a little difference there. Not just of faith, but for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared, instead of confessed, declared so well before many witnesses. You know, when I was reading that and I was thinking about before many witnesses, you know, sometimes we might be by ourselves walking around in our house confessing the Word, declaring the truth. And you're thinking, well, who's listening? Well, number one, God's listening. Christ, the one who gave us that confession, is listening. Number two, the enemy is listening, because he's the one you're really letting and putting on notice that I believe this stuff. As much as you're trying to tell me it's not true, or as much as you might be telling me that, well, it's not true for you, or some other tradition and doctrine of men, I need to be confessing and declaring so well in front of all these witnesses that are around me, that I know whether you're hearing me or not, the Word is going out. There's so many witnesses, all right? And so I'm going to fight this good fight. It's the true fight of faith. You know, again, I'm not fighting against the sickness. You've heard me say this 100 times probably. I am the well, the whole, the healed, resisting sickness. I am not the sick trying to get healed. As long as I have the right attitude, I'm in a fight. So some people get this false idea, and I don't know where they get it, but usually it's the critics of the Word of Faith message that say, well, you know, you Word of Faith people, you think that if you have enough faith, you'll never have any problems. Are you goofy or what? In fact, the more faith you have, the more fight you're going to have. Because there's more to steal, kill, and destroy. Did you hear what I said? The people that make these stupid accusations about Word of Faith people thinking we're never going to have any problems, they have no idea what they're talking about. Just because I talk victory doesn't mean I can't have victory, or doesn't mean that I'm not going to fight to get the... How can you have a victory if you haven't had a battle? Hello? It's just stupid. And yet there's people that say, oh, man, you know, that faith stuff. I don't know, Pastor, you've been preaching this for years, and look at Pastor Mary. You know, she could quote Psalm 91 backwards. I don't know if she can do that or not, but she probably could. Three different translations, in fact. But that's not the point. The point is there's an enemy, and he is not going to give up. He's going to keep fighting us to trying to get us to question our faith in God. That's what he's after. He's after our faith. It is a battle. It is a fight. Fight the good fight for what? My faith in God. Because see, when you're under it, when you're in the midst of it, you're thinking, God, what's going on? Doesn't this work? What are you questioning? Your faith. Your faith is being challenged. Your faith. I had a phone conversation with someone the other day. We've had a lot of people calling us over the last few weeks who are going through very difficult things, challenging things. And they can hear in my voice that I'm fighting the good fight myself. But at the same time, when you're talking to them, you're saying, it doesn't matter how I sound. It matters what I say. My good confession lines up with my good fight. Did you hear what I said? Because a good confession is one of the primary ways that I'm going to fight this good fight. If I don't have a good confession, what is the word of the word of God? It is the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is your good confession. In the midst of it, not, oh man. You know, you can walk around and say, I just feel worn out. That's a fact. I'm not saying a bad confession. Back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, we had confession police. And if you said anything wrong, somebody would jump on you. And, you know, the class was, well, do you want me to agree with you on that? I'd sometimes say, yeah, would you please? Listen, I'm not lying when I say, I'm dealing with some sinus junk. All right, it's not a booger devil. All right, it's the booger monster, yes, but it's not some demon. There are natural things in the world that we have to deal with. I hope I'm coming across here. You have to understand that because we're dealing with natural things, even though we are supernatural beings, we still have to fight this fight of faith. Because again, I'm not fighting against sin. I'm not fighting really against sickness. I am fighting to hold on to what I believe God has promised me, and I believe that that's not going to change, regardless of how I feel. I'm going to say that again, regardless of how I feel. Because, I mean, let me ask you this, how many of you got up this morning and felt saved? Huh? There's some mornings I get up and I don't feel saved. I wish I got up every morning and go, oh, glory to God, I'm so saved today. Hallelujah. It doesn't work that way sometimes. Uh-uh. But you get up and you know what? By faith you know that you know that you know. Thank God my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God that if Jesus came right now, I'm going home. I'm going with him. I know that my name is there, and I am a new creation in Christ. And your body says, well, you don't feel like it. What's that got to do with it? My salvation has nothing to do with feelings. So why does my health, my finances, my state of mind have anything to do with feelings? They don't. And yet we are so emotional and human, physically ruled sometimes, that it can speak louder to us than the truth. And that's where the fight comes in, folks. That's where I've had to fight this last couple of weeks. Now, like I've said, people have asked me, you know, how you doing, how you doing? And sometimes you get tired of saying, I'm just doing fine, thank you very much. But I've been doing fine, other than the booger monster. All right? And as long as you can keep fighting that good fight, I'm going to, one of these days, it's just, you know, you're just going to wake up one of these days, it's going to be, the battle will be over. It's like the battle of the bulge, you know, you just keep fighting and keep fighting, and, you know, the enemy's trying to push in there, but I'm holding the line. You know, the famous line that the general said to the German high command when they wanted him to surrender, do you know what his answer was? All you history buffs, come on now, Battle of the Bulge. What was the name? What was the one word that general said?
nuts.
The German general couldn't understand. What does he mean, nuts? He couldn't understand. That's why the enemy is to us all the time. He looks at him, what do you mean, nuts? He's looking at you like, shouldn't you buckle under this? Don't you want to get down and just cry? Don't you want to just get down and quit? See, that's what he's after. I will not quit. I will not quit. Why? Because my God will not quit on me. It's not about me giving up. It's me knowing that God has never given up on me. He's going to stick with me. He's with me in this. So when I look at this, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before so many witnesses. Now, that's verse 12. If you go into verse 13, Jesus is our very perfect example. And in that situation, Jesus says he made a what? Good confession before who? His accuser. Before his enemy. Before Pontius Pilate. If you just look at the very next verse, it tells us exactly our example. Here's Jesus standing before Pilate, and all these people are yelling, crucify him, we want him dead. Isn't that what the enemy is saying to us? He wants us dead. And yet at the same time, we're standing up and saying, no, I'm going to hold on to my good confession. Jesus is my example. Right in front of Pontius Pilate, he held on to the truth. He knew exactly who he... Did he know that he was going to go through that suffering? Yes. Turn over to Jude, the book of Jude. Verse 3 says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. So there's that phrase, contend earnestly for the faith. Now, we know that the faith in other scriptures, and I won't go into all those, you've heard those plenty, is basically defined as the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most translations use that phrase, contend earnestly, to describe what I believe the church or most believers would take on when it comes to our faith that's been entrusted to us. But there are some translations, such as the NCB and others, that say it this way. They'll say, fight hard for the faith that you have been entrusted with or you've been given. Fight hard for the faith. Now, when you start looking at all those scriptures, it doesn't say fight hard with your faith. Isn't that interesting? Although we do that. But a lot of these scriptures are actually using it in such a form as to contend earnestly, and it says for the faith, for this good news, for these promises of God. And when we understand that that is what we are fighting for, to hold on to the good news that God has given us, because the things that are accusing us, the accuser of the brethren, like Pontius Pilate, he's accusing us to try to talk us out of believing this good news. You know, when your body is struggling, we've all at some point probably had something going on in our bodies. We've all had to face some type of sickness or disease or hardship or suffering or whatever. You say, well, I don't know why we're doing that because we're supposed to be redeemed. You know, listen, as long as you're in this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Hello? Jesus said, I have overcome the world. That means we're in the process of overcoming. That means I'm going to have to fight for the faith to trust him during this process of overcoming. It's not instantaneous. It's not automatic. You know, if people really understood what Brother Hagin taught when he said, keep the switch of faith turned on, otherwise he would have just said, turn the switch of faith on and we're over with. That's not what he taught us as the word of faith. He taught us, keep the switch of faith what? Turned on. Because some idiot out there keeps trying to turn it off. You turn it on, and the enemy comes along and flips it off. Have you ever walked through a room and you turn the light on, and then about halfway in, and then it's like, why'd it get dark? Because someone else came in behind you and turned the switch down. Hey, I'm in this room. Hello? Huh? Keep the switch of faith turned on. Now, I personally, my kids think I'm kind of over the board on some of these things, but like down in my basement and places where it's dark, I have motion detectors. So as soon as I walk into a room, guess what happens? All the lights go on. So, well, why would you do that? Because I have too many little grandkids that come in, and I don't like the fact that they come in and walk around and start, you know, turning lights on and off, digging through things, bumping into things in the dark. I'd rather have the light go on automatically as soon as I walk, and everything wide open so I can see it. Hello? That's what I want. And that's the way I think life ought to be. That everything that I want to do when it comes to the Word of God is motion sensitive. it's gonna turn on when I walk in there. This is saying to me, I want you to fight earnestly for this faith. I love the Phillips translation. It says, I fully intended, dear friends, to write to you about our common salvation. But, now listen to what he says here. I feel compelled to make my letter to an earnest appeal to put up a real fight for the faith which has been once and for all committed to those who belong to Christ. So he says, all right, I started to write this letter to you, and as I'm writing this letter to you, I had to totally switch gears. I got compelled to make this letter instead right away to get you to have a more earnest expectation, to earnestly press into the faith, for the faith. Put up a real fight for the faith. I like that. Put up a real fight for the faith. Because I guarantee you, when you're not feeling so good, you don't feel like fighting. You feel like taking a nap. Huh? You feel like saying, oh man, I'm so wore out. And that's not a bad confession. That's the reality of your physical body. Remember, we're a physical being living in a physical world that is a fallen world. And this fallen world that is bound by the law of sin and death wants to reign still over us. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has to rise up. There are many nights in the last couple weeks where I'm laying in bed and, you know, I can't go off to sleep because I'm coughing and I'm choking and I'm like this and I can't sleep. So guess what? I lay hands on myself and I just say, body, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're wall to wall, Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And I just start talking like that. And I just start thinking that. So do you talk that out loud? No, because I'm trying to let my wife sleep. But I'm talking to myself. I'm declaring it softly sometimes. And the great cloud of witnesses from God in heaven to the devil in hell and everybody in between hears me saying, I'm confessing this good report. I'm confessing my good fight. I'm confessing the good news of the gospel. It's good. It's good. And as I declare that, I guarantee you, your mind's going, yeah, but man, you don't feel it. You're just not getting it. But you know, the more I sit there, and the more I lay there, and the more I say that, whether it's 2 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 2 hours, I don't care. I just keep saying it. And I say it so long until, you know what? Sometimes people say, oh, the devil just keeps me up. Well, I guarantee you, start praying in the Spirit. You'll go to sleep real quick. He'll stop bugging you. I don't know why that is. He can't knock me out, but it sure seems like as soon as I start praying in the Spirit and I start confessing the Word, all of a sudden it's like La La Land. Why is that? Well, because do you think the enemy wants me to be up walking around, marching and declaring the truth and, you know, punching him in the nose every time I say something, give him a good jab with the sword of the Spirit, smack him with the shield of faith, huh? No, he didn't like that. He's going, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Huh? Put up a real fight. Another translation says this, I have to write insisting that you fight with everything you have for this faith that's been entrusted to us. That's the message. Now, we have to fight the right fight. Do you understand what I mean by that? There's a right fight and there's a wrong fight. And the fight we're in is for us to hold on to our faith. It's for us to grab hold of what we believe and not let go, because that's what the enemy's after. The enemy wants you to question the healing messages of the gospel. He wants you to question your salvation. He wants you to question the goodness of God. Oh, but he healed them all, but not you. Well, you know, there are times in the Bible where it says, and they shall recover. Well, I'm shall recovering. Amen. And I just remind the enemy of that. I say right to him, I'm recovering. I'm in recovery. Thank you. See, I don't say, oh, man, I'm just wore out. I haven't got any fight left in me. Now, I trust you're going to understand this, but I've been with enough people over the 30, 40 years of ministry that when you've been around someone and they're struggling, you can tell when they got fight in them or not. There's people over the years that I've had to bury because they didn't have any fight left in them. And you talk to them, you know, and for some of them, you know what, I understand completely. They wanted to go home. I mean, I remember when I talked to my mom about it, she just didn't want to fight anymore. She says, I got my reservation made. I'm okay. She says, with long life, Psalm 91, you shall be satisfied. She says, I'm satisfied. I'm going to go home. That's great. But there's others that are too young, and yet they've struggled so long. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You, some of your loved ones, they have fought and fought and fought, and they just get too tired. I talked to somebody the other day. I was really concerned because they said, I'm just so tired. I feel like I want to go home. Now, this person's way too young to say that. And I said, do you really, is that really how you feel? I mean, God's going to love you either way, but what about you and your family and other people around you? Now, what's speaking right now? Is that your faith speaking? Listen to what I'm going to say here, because this is the fight for faith. Is that your faith speaking, or is that the circumstances speaking? Huh? Sometimes we speak from a place of circumstance. We've all been guilty of it. There's nobody exempt from it because we live in a fallen world. We can slip into saying things that we wish we hadn't. Thank God we can repent and let those words fall to the ground. But at the same time, if we keep saying, if our self-talk is, oh man, I'm just too tired. I'd just as soon go home. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And sadly, I've seen that happen to people. You have to fight for this faith, to trust that God is on your side, that he is a good God, that he's not the one causing this. You know very well that my biggest problem with traditions and doctrines of men is that they have taught that God is the one who is putting you through this test. And he thinks, you know, they'll teach it that he's testing your faith. He doesn't test your faith. He's the author and the finisher of it. He doesn't have to test your faith. He knows how much you got because he gave it to you. Hello? The only test we get from God, biblically, in the New Testament, especially on this side of the cross, is the test of faithfulness and obedience. That's it. Will we be faithful and obedient to the things we know to do? And again, it's not for him to find out necessarily. It's for us to discover in within ourselves. Wow, I thought I had this one licked. I thought I had this one well established in my heart. And then all of a sudden you find out, boy, I guess I wasn't as established as I thought I was. And you know, you can use up faith. You can use up faith. Faith is like vitamin C. You can burn it up. You need to keep taking in. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and not just having heard. That's why in the midst of all this, I was going to do this at the end, but I'm going to show you. Some of you know what this is. This is called God's Creative Power. It's a little book by Charles Capps. I have a couple of these around my house. This one is the one that's in my office. And if you open it up, yes, it's all marked up. It's got notes in it. Things are colored and everything. And when I'm going through something, I'll just open it up like this. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Therefore, I refuse to allow sickness to dominate my body. The life of God flows within me, bringing healing to every fiber of my being. Matthew chapter 8, John chapter, I've got the scriptures right here. And I declare that. And I've got pages of them marked like that. And some of them I've changed a little bit. I've added my own notes to it. I've just, you know, there's just it's gonna, one in here is all about strengthen my immune system that I wrote in there, came up with. You say, well, what'd you take that for? These are my gospels. That's all these are. This is no different than when you go to the doctor and they'll say, take these pills. I want you, we have a pharmacist here, and she will tell you that the job is take exactly what they tell you to take. I love the little thing on there. Do not deviate from this prescription. In other words, if it says one a day, don't take three. If it says three a day, don't just take one. Now, when it comes to the Gospels, take as many as you need. Amen? But something like this. If you don't have a little book like this, or you don't have it marked in your scriptures, or you don't, Josh mentioned this during the offering. Brother Hagin has his little book called God's Medicine. There are all kinds of tools that you can use to drive the devil nuts and to strengthen your faith, to fight the good fight of faith, to fight to be able to say no to what your body's trying to do, or say no to the circumstances that are trying to talk you out of the goodness of God. So we have to consider something. What kind of fights would Paul and the early church be familiar with? What would they have, what could they relate to as far as fights? I mean, they couldn't turn on TV and watch WWF. That's all fake anyways, if you've ever been to one. What? You didn't know that? I'll tell off on myself. When I was a kid, we loved watching wrestling on TV. It was black and white. It was a little bitty screen. So they could get away with a lot of stuff because you couldn't see very much on there. But we went down to the St. Paul Armory when I was just a kid to watch Vern Gagne wrestle the Crusher. Some of you are old enough to remember that. And so we were all excited, me and my kids in the neighborhood. We all went down and went, yeah, we'll get to watch wrestling. And, you know, when you're up close and personal and you're 5-10 feet away from them and they're jumping off the rope and they're hitting each other and really all they're stamping their foot and they missed a guy by a mile. And he went flying against the ropes and comes off again. And he hits them again. Missed him by a mile. And he rolls all over. And I'm thinking, what's this? This isn't a real fight. This is all fake. This is all showmanship. This is all put on. Now I don't think they try to hide it. They just are a bunch of showmanship because they all end up on movies and TV and they do specials and, you know, they're all just a bunch of actors, really. They just get paid a lot to, you know, break chairs over each other that are made out of paper mache. I don't know. I hope I didn't burst anybody's bubble here. You know, you go on a real fight, go watch a boxing match because those guys are really fighting. You know, there's the in the day that they were fighting, they knew what fights were. It was close quarters. You know, nowadays we can sit there and have some guy in a little hut with a TV monitor with a joystick flying a drone over somewhere in the Middle East, blowing people up. That's not much of a fight. Hello? But the close quarter kind of fights that the church that Paul was talking about, he said, put on the whole armor of God. And then he lists the armor, the helmet, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, all these things, right? The belt of truth. He understood the Roman soldier. The Roman soldier, I think most people in that day of Jesus and the early church, they knew exactly what kind of fight would happen if a soldier was there. They knew exactly, we call it actually in the Olympics now, Roman Greco type wrestling. That came out of that Greek and Roman culture. They knew what it was to have that close contact, real close contact. Gladiators were doing what? Close contact. They would have understood what was going on in the Colosseums. Hello? Many of those Christians ended up in those Colosseums. Victims of that close contact. Do you think they had a good fight of faith? Yes. They'd sit there and sing and worship God while people were throwing spears at him, shooting arrows at him, chopping them up with swords, and letting loose lions and tigers and things on him. And they're worshiping God because they were going to go see Jesus. And what would happen? There's testimonies and testimonies of people jumping out of the stands, running down. They saw the glory of God and they saw something on these people's faces. They said, I don't know what they got, but I want that. Guess what? They fought for that faith. They held on to that faith. And they paid for it with their lives. So, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says this, in Phillips' translation, fight the worthwhile battle of the faith. Keep your grip on that eternal life to which you have been called and to which you boldly professed your loyalty before many witnesses. I like that translation because it adds your loyalty. See, the enemy would love to get you to turn traitor, to deny the very things that you're believing, to deny the Lord that saved you, to deny the truth of all that the Lord has done for you. But see, if I'm loyal to the gospel, if I'm loyal to this good news, if I'm loyal to this good fight of faith, I don't care what happens to me, it doesn't change my mind. You know, Hebrews 11 says these all died where? In faith. They died in faith, giving glory to God. So it doesn't matter whether your body expired because your faith is still alive. Did you understand that? And yet, for some reason, people say, well, I guess their faith didn't work. That has nothing to do with it. We've had to say that we had to say that during the funeral here with Diana. Her faith didn't falter. Many times it's a person's body that quits, not their faith. We don't have a faith failure sometimes. What we have is a physical failure. That's going to happen to all. You know, at some point, my body's going to decide, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. And so I will die of evacuated body. That's what's going to happen. Because the real me is going to step on the outside and go, oh, man, I'm so glad I'm done with that shell. I'm getting me a new body. Huh? Now, I agree there's times at this stage in my life, at this age of my life, where I could say, is there any way I can get that without having to die? And then he says, no, you'd have to join Lifetime Fitness or something like that. I'm not going to do that. No. Huh? Now, Paul tells Timothy, I love this in Phillips, that it's a worthwhile battle. It is a war. And I'm here to remind you, we've been dragged into this war whether we like it or not. 1 Timothy chapter 1:18 talks about giving us these prophecies that which we can fight with. And it says, use these prophecies in faith and with a clear conscience to fight this noble war. He actually calls it a noble war. Boy, you talk to most Christians, they don't think this fight of faith is a very noble thing. They want it gone. They want it over with. They don't want anything to do with it. No, when you're fighting, I see this as a noble fight that I'm fighting. Well, you're kind of weird. Thank you very much. I am. In fact, let me just, the Message puts it this way. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 in the Message. I'm passing this work on to you, my son Timothy. The prophetic word that was directed to you prepared us for all of this. All those prayers are coming together now, so you will do this well. Fearless in your struggle. Keeping a firm grip and thinking anything, keeping a firm grip on your faith and on yourself. After all, this is a fight that we're in. There are some, you know, who by relaxing their grip and thinking that anything goes, have made a thorough mess of their faith. What have they made a mess of? Their faith. Faith is the issue. Faith is the subject. Faith is what we're fighting for. You say, well, man, I thought I was fighting for my health. I thought I was fighting for this, or I was fighting for that. Or I thought I was fighting against this or against that. I'm not fighting against sin. Jesus won that battle. I'm not fighting against guilt or condemnation. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Where are you? You're in Christ, so there's no condemnation. Yeah, but look what you're going through. There's no condemnation. I'm fighting. I'm not quitting. I know this is hard sometimes for people because we have been well taught that faith is the victory. I love that phrase. I think that's true. Praise God for the idea. It is a truth that we have to hold on to. But you cannot have a victory without a fight. It doesn't happen. Whatever your favorite team is, whether it's baseball or football or hockey, they don't come out the end of the game victorious because they just sat on the sidelines and going, boy, I wish we could win. No, they get out there and they play and they play and they play. And sometimes they lose yards and then other times they make yards. I told somebody here the other day, I felt like one day it was three steps forward, the next day it was two steps back. The next day, three steps forward, the next day, two steps back. The good news is, I just made up two steps. See, that's victory. That's victory. Why? Because I'm still in the fight. Well, I thought it was, you know, fourth and ten. I don't care. I'm going to throw a Hail Mary. I'm going for it. Amen. And then it'll be first and ten. I get to start all over again. Because I don't quit. That's the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. People don't understand faith. People are all messed up about faith. We're here to fight for this faith, this trust, this good news, this good confession. It is something worth fighting for. You know, we're in a good fight. And like I said earlier, you need to be in the right fight. The problem is the enemy always fights dirty. You ever notice that? The enemy fights dirty. Oh, glory. The good news thing about, well, let me use that illustration. Let me use that illustration. I was thinking about it before. You know, in a boxing match, the two guys come out, they got their gloves on, and they're all ready to go, and they're all kind of bouncing. Come on, yeah. I'm gonna clean your clock, buddy. You know, tough talk. Lots of trash talk. And so the referee says, come on now, I want a clean fight. And so they look at each other, you know, they go, punch their gloves with each other. And then they go at it. And they start punching. And now, see, if this was Vern Gagne and the Crusher, and they'd do all that, when they're all done, they go have a beer together. That's what they did. But see, you don't go have a beer with the devil. He really wants to punch your lights out. And he's going to do everything. He's gonna, you know, the referee might say, "Now, I want a clean fight." And the devil goes, "Yeah, right. Watch this." And he plays dirty. The good news is, you know what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, God is faithful, that he'll step in and help us. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able to handle. He's the referee. And I guarantee you, at the end of the fight, no matter what happens at the end of the fight, I mean, you could be standing with a bloody nose and with a band-aid over here, and the referee comes up, because, you know, the other guy's over there and goes, "Hey, I'm going to win." And he comes up to you and goes, "Winner!" Why? Because I already won. Jesus already won the battle for me. And I'm victorious because he's victorious. I'm in on his victory. So 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19, when it talks about being fearless in your struggle, remember that this is a battle that we're in, and we need to be courageous and not cowards and quit. I wasn't going to get into this, but I've got it on the side of my notes here. You know, Luke 21 talks about men's hearts failing them for fear and for the things that are coming upon the earth. I don't want us to be victims of heart failure. And that's what I believe a lot has happened in the last couple of years. There's so many people, they're victims of heart failure because their hearts have been overcome by fear. I love what the message says. It will seem like all hell has broken loose. This is Luke 21 through 25 and 26. It will seem like all hell has broken loose. Everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom. Man, you listen to the news, that's exactly what you're going to feel like. If you listen to all the stuff that's going on in the world today, you'd think that a gazillion people have died from COVID. I just saw a headline 2 days ago that actually admitted that over 50% of the so-called deaths attributed to COVID are not COVID-related. Oh, really? Then what are they? They finally admitted the other day that many of the people that are struggling with COVID really are struggling with a hybrid of the flu and COVID put together, but it's really the flu. Well, they don't treat you for the flu. Duh. So guess what? We better know how to fight for the faith. We better know how to fight. Because this fight will come to everyone. The storms of life come to everyone. Don't walk around saying, "I'm not going to get in COVID. I'm not going to have any COVID. See, are you saying that in faith, or are you saying it out of fear? Because I know some people that I've talked to, they were trying to confess themselves out of that. You can't confess yourself out of it. You confess yourself through it. That's the good confession. That's the good fight with the good news. Everyone say good. Say, "Pastor, you're done, right?" Good. I hope you're getting this, because all last week, I just kept thinking about, I'm fighting the good fight. I'm fighting the good fight. I'm fighting. And the Lord said, "Why don't you preach on that?" I said, "Yeah, but I had this other message. I got this series I'm trying to do." And he says, "Forget your series." Oh, okay, okay. I'm here to please you, not me. One translation actually said in Luke 21, people were terrified. They'll experience fear and dread and apprehension, and their courage will falter. See, that's what the enemy's after, to get us to turn coward. To buckle under. I'm not buckling under. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of the symptoms I may be confronted with, regardless of how serious those symptoms even may be, even unto death, I will not deny my faith and trust in God. That's the bottom line. That's my fight for the faith. Paul said this at the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, I like the Phillips in this one as well. He says, as for me, I feel that the last drops of my life are being poured out for God. The glorious fight. Everyone say the glorious fight. The glorious fight that God gave me, I have fought. The course that I was set, I have finished. And I have kept the faith. The future for me holds the crown of righteousness, which God, the true judge, will give to those who have loved what they have seen of him. There's one translation that I just have to share. He just puts it very bluntly. I have fought well, I have finished the race, and I have been faithful. That's where I am. So, I'm going to encourage you, fight the good fight. Fight it with a good confession. Fight it with the good report, the good news. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and fight with it. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the severity of your symptoms, it doesn't change the Word of God. The Word of God will change us. Sometimes I have to remind myself. People say, well, it seems like it got worse. No. Didn't get worse. Maybe sometimes there were days that it seemed like I went from 95 back to 90% of my life. But it didn't get worse as far as my relationship with God. That didn't get worse. That is unchangeable. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. My heart is established. I can't tell you how many times I have confessed that in my life, and especially more recently, putting my hands on my own chest and saying, in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I have been, not looking to be, I have been. I had a whole other set of thoughts that I was going to share, but E.W. Kenyon puts it this way, and he was criticized by a lot of evangelical people because they don't understand E.W. Kenyon. But he said there are two kinds of truth. There's a vital truth and a legal truth. The legal truth is, by his stripes I have been healed. That's a legal truth. That's done. It's finished. As far as God's concerned, it's over with. It's the law of righteousness. It's the law of heaven. The vital truth is, I may not yet totally have experienced the legal side yet. Why? Because I'm still in the courtroom fighting the accuser of the brethren. Did you catch that? There's a fight that goes on in a courtroom. When it's all said and done, the verdict's on my side. Did you catch that? That's the way E.W. Kenyon talks about it. There's the vital and the legal. Legally, I'm a resident of heaven. Vitally, I'm still here. Legally, I'm the righteousness of God. Vitally, which means vital in the life that you are currently experiencing, you may not feel that right with God. Like I said, you may wake up in the morning and not feel saved, but I am the righteousness of God. Father, we're so thankful for your word.